For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with a shout-out to our viewers around the world. We're doing a countdown of our top 50 cities, starting with San Francisco, California, in 50th place. Though if you're there, don't let your neighbors know you're watching our stuff. And the latest readout video, based on my Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, to which you should subscribe while you can still see to do it, and the computer still works. I add these gloomy considerations because Canadians in particular have apparently resigned themselves to the fact that the people who run our country could create a sand shortage in Saudi Arabia or an ice shortage in Greenland. Surely no country on earth has had better luck than Canada, from geography to resources to a peaceful history founded in constitutional liberty. And when it comes to energy, we famously have ample rivers for our hydroelectric dams, some of the world's biggest oil and gas reserves, and a well-established nuclear industry using homegrown CANDU reactors. So now we face self-inflicted electricity shortages. It can't have been easy, but given enough politicians and zealots, anything can turn from a dream into a nightmare. Consider a paper from the Macdonald Laurier Institute by Andrew Evans entitled Canada's Declining Electricity Abundance. Even a sour and persistent reader of the news might react initially with, hey, I thought that was a long way in the future, not something they'd already caused. But last December, even our industry minister, François-Philippe Champagne, a man whose feet are as firmly planted in the air as anyone's in the cabinet, quote, brought the upcoming deficit of Canada's clean power supply into critical focus, stating that companies were reticent to invest because some jurisdictions are getting strained with respect to the capacity of energy generation, end quote. Weird, huh? But there it is. And what's especially weird, even by the standards of climate world, I'm even going to say daft, is that they've managed to produce this electricity shortage just as they are determined to electrify everything from home heating to pickup trucks in the rugged Canadian northern winter. And you might think, well, Canada has abundant hydro resources, unlike most countries, and we had a head start on nuclear. Unfortunately, we've already picked the low-hanging water on the former, and most Greens have a strange allergy to the latter. Plus, in modern Canada, we struggle to complete major projects of any sort, and if we do complete them, we encounter tragicomic cost overruns, long delays, and a habitual shrugging off of responsibility. Everything these people touch turns to lead, and this one will too. Expensive lead, painted green, and described as gold. Hi everybody, and especially our new subscribers. We've been asking you to help us get to 100,000. We were at 84,000, and we're now over 91 because more than 7,000 people clicked the button in April alone. And I know we have a lot of new viewers too, so if you're watching but you're not yet a subscriber, please do click here. It's free, it helps us grow the channel, it protects us against getting deplatformed, and it makes sure that you hear about the latest videos. So to the new subscribers, welcome aboard, and for everybody, back to the show. Now, the determination to wreck everything and hope it turns out well is not confined to Canada. Thus, the New York Times celebrates the United States Securities and Exchange Commission piling a pillion of miscalculation on an ossa of misplaced certainty by forcing corporations to calculate something called nature risk. Now, the people in power don't know what next week's weather will bring. They don't know whether China will invade Taiwan this year or whether Vladimir Putin will die tomorrow. But now, they order companies to determine what some data center will do to an Arizona aquifer a decade hence, or they'll get fined by the same government whose own predictions on climate are laughably wrong. And then people wonder why the economy is struggling and they wish the government would do more. Here's the thing. We don't know what the climate would do without human influence, so we certainly can't calculate what it will do instead with it. What we really ought to be doing is encouraging resilience. And instead, governments mandate rigidity and idiocy without anything resembling shame or humility. Now, if it's all getting you down, a publication called Country and Townhouse offers a green coach who is asked, quote, I try to feel relaxed about climate change, but every time I look at the news and every time it gets hot, I feel really panicky. What can I do to feel okay, end quote? Well, pick better sources of news for a start. Although even the good ones can be depressing. For instance, you hear that some academic projector in Lapland wants a mere $50 billion to build curtains around the so-called Doomsday Glacier to keep warm seawater from melting it. As if we could just command the ocean, stop melting Antarctica, and it would. Say, Canute, can we borrow your cloak? Oh, and if you are missing your weekly dose of ice-free Arctic warnings, fear not. Quote, the Arctic might be iceless a lot sooner than scientists thought, end quote. Unless it isn't, plus I thought they thought it was going to be ice-free already. But the Daily Skeptic reports that, quote, there has been no significant warming in one of the most climate-sensitive parts of the planet. Analysis of Greenland ice core data shows, casting further doubt on the alarmist climate narrative, end quote. Also, please remember, climate change only ever causes bad things. Thus, National Geographic warned us back in 2019 that greening is really browning. Quote, thirsty future ahead as climate change explodes plant growth. Rising CO2 levels and a warmer earth means plants will grow bigger and have longer to suck the land dry. That's bad news for human water supplies, end quote. Okay, let's hear them praise smaller plants withering after a short growing season. Ah, and from the If Wishes Were Horses file, Canada's Deputy Prime Minister and floundering Finance Minister chirps, quote, our economic plan is turning Canada into a critical minerals superpower. From EV battery plants to net zero mining, we are responsibly unlocking Canada's natural resources to create more good jobs and prosperity today and for the next generation, end quote. Yeah, except for the bit where projects actually get approved. Oh, and Parker Gallant regularly notes the bizarre engineering and economic structure in Canada's hydro and nuclear power-rich province of Ontario, where the more our wind turbines actually manage to produce, the more money we lose. On March 13th alone, Ontario's wind turbines churned away in the wee hours, providing 19,177 megawatts of energy to the grid at the cost of $2,588,575, or $135 per megawatt hour, plus $184,680 for 1,539 megawatts they were paid not to produce. Now, most of this surplus power was sold south for roughly $13 a megawatt hour, leaving Ontario with 383 megawatts at a net cost of $2,567,937, or, he calculates, a stunning $6,704.80 per megawatt hour. Now, imagine powering an entire country in that way and at that kind of price. And remember those figures next time you're told that alternatives have become cheaper than conventional energy. Speaking of which, in a gung-ho story about how Germany's failed energy transition is secretly succeeding brilliantly, Clean Energy Wire, near the end, quotes the head of Greenpeace Germany, Martin Kaiser, that a drop in emissions in 2023 is deceptive, and that, wait for it, quote, nobody should confuse a struggling economy with climate protection, end quote. Yet, the two are inseparable. Demolish reliable energy and overinvest in stuff that doesn't deliver, and your economy will struggle. Unless it gives up entirely. In the newsletter, we also note that Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau appears to be on some sort of mission to confirm everyone's growing suspicion that he does not know what he's doing. Faced with recent criticism of the burden of our rising carbon tax, Trudeau, quote, touted his carbon tax as the alternative to the heavy hand of government regulations, end quote, and to, quote, subsidies and rewards for companies, end quote, that do what the state wants. Yeah. From the man who's announced a long list of climate-related regulations, as well as giving tens of billions in, subsidies to manufacturers of EV batteries and all sorts of other so-called green technologies. As the Toronto Sun asked scornfully, quote, has Trudeau not read his climate change plan, end quote? Well, as he's trying to put forward as an excuse for ignoring communist Chinese election meddling, he doesn't like to read. But we should still be worried. And from the So You Admit It file, we learn that, quote, the British Columbia government says farmers will get an extra $70 million to replant and strengthen fruit orchards and vineyards after 2 years of weather-related disasters, end quote. Indeed, yes, but not, it turns out, due to heat, due to cold weather in 2022 and 2024. Though by now, in herd mentality media speak, these were mere cold snaps, and then there was wildfire smoke in 2021. Another story tells us that, quote, Western Canada's cold snap in January causes $180 million in insurance damages, end quote. So there's that snap again. And yet we keep hearing that it's heat that kills crops, causes massive economic losses, and pushes up premiums. And when we say keep hearing, we mean even when it's cold. As in the Atlantic headline, quote, "Fruit chaos is coming. Climate change is threatening to turn sublime summer stone fruits disgusting or rob us of their pleasures entirely," end quote. Which is all about massive projected damage to fruit from cold caused by heat. See, there is nothing climate change cannot do, except apparently make sense. In the newsletter, we also continue our Getting Worse series by noting that it's spring here in Ontario, and that means we're headed into the warm season. Yay! Which sometimes brings thunderstorms. Yay, unless you're stuck outdoors. And once in a while brings a severe storm with a possible tornado. Boo! These kind of events are called severe convective storms by people observing and studying them from a safe distance. Up close, they may get different names because they bring high winds, black clouds, dramatic downpours, and occasionally funnel clouds that can do a lot of damage. And also, they bring reflexive warnings that climate change is now responsible and is making them worse. Now, when people claim that climate change means more severe weather, these are the storms they want you to think of. By contrast, what we want you to think of is the fact that the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which alarmists often wave vaguely at as the ultimate authority on the science without actually reading its stuff, says there is no evidence that they are getting more frequent in the United States or elsewhere, and that indeed the frequency of intense tornado activity in the United States is trending down, not up, as the alarmists claim, without checking. And here's something non-chilling. For years, we've been treated to graphs showing the decline of Arctic sea ice based on satellite measurements, which began the modern kind in 1979. But the Canadian Ice Service also maintains detailed data on annual sea ice coverage throughout the Canadian Arctic, and sure enough, the record from them since 1979 looks like the satellite record for the Arctic as a whole, with a clear downward trend. But the Canadian Ice Service data don't start in 1979. They start back in 1971, and you'll never guess what happens when we add in the earlier data. At least you won't if you're an alarmist, because what happens is the trend vanishes. Here's what the longer series looks like, and it's quite a surprise. Despite the supposedly record low ice cover in recent years, those numbers are not records even compared to the early 1970s, never mind earlier in the 20th century. There's that blasted natural variability again, and actual data. And then, as usual, the last item in the newsletter comes from the co2science.org archive, and in this case it's a paper whose authors write, quote, "Over the last four decades, there has been a trend to earlier summer breakup of the sea ice in western Hudson Bay, Canada," end quote, and that, quote, "the trend to earlier sea ice breakup has been linked to the long-term effect of warming in the region," end quote. But, yet again, when they looked at the longer run, this apparent trend vanished. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I like it when the light switch works.